Good morning. Good to see you. How are you guys doing this morning? I love you so much. Whoa, how are you doing? Amazing. My name is Karen. For those of you who don't know me, I get to be on staff here at church. I love this house so very much, and I'm really, really excited to speak to you today on the next installment of our summer series. But before I get right into it, I want to give a shout out to two incredible people that in my personal life have seen the God calling, stirred it up, and called it out of me and made space for me to do things I never thought I would do and see God move in my life in ways I never expected. And they do this for me, and they do this for the whole house. And of course, this is Pastor Roy and Christina. Guys, I love you. I honor you today. Thank you for all that you do. You guys are incredible. Yes, we have amazing pastors, and I would not be who I am without you guys. So thank you. Love you guys so much. So today, we are in our summer series, Roots of Character, the Beatitudes. And today we're talking about blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we have a whole bunch of these Beatitudes. There's 8 statements in Matthew 5 that we're going through over the summer. So I actually just want to read through all of them before we get into the one that we're talking about today. So if you have your Bible, or it's going to be on the screen, we're going to read from Matthew 5, verse 1 to 10. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" So Dom talked about this one last week, if you remember, and if you were here, talked about being empty of ourselves and how that's uncomfortable, but that's actually the place that God wants us to be. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." That's today's topic. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That will obviously be next week. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." All these crazy countercultural statements. And they all begin with the word blessed. And another way of saying that word blessed is actually happy is the one who. And not the kind of happy that's like, oh, the sun's out today, I'm really happy, or now I'm sad because I'm stuck in traffic. It's actually a deep, unshakable joy that is in you. So all of these statements and the thing that we're talking about across the whole summer, Roots of Character, Beatitudes, is actually like, do you want to live the blessed life? Here's how. Do you want to live a life full of joy and happiness and peace that is not shaken by your circumstance? This is how you do it. And I love how Dom talked last week, and he was like, this, the topic poor in spirit, this is hard for us in North America because we have so much. And like, I just want to say, I don't think any of these are comfortable. I think they're actually all kind of hard, but there is no other way we get to the blessed life. Come on, do you want to be full of joy? Do you want to be full of peace? Do you want your life to have fruit coming out of it that people look and say, oh my word, who is the God that you serve? So we're going to get into this. Are you ready? I feel excited. Are you excited? Okay, but let's pray. Jesus, we want to live this blessed life that you have for us. We want to grow roots of character. And as Pastor Roy talked about, the root determines the fruit. So God, we're here. We're ready. We want to learn this, God. We want to apply this. And I just pray, God, that the words that come out of my mouth would be your words, not mine. God, that there would just be revelation in this room. God, that you'd speak to hearts. And God, as we talk about mourning and comforting today, that you would comfort hearts that need it today. Jesus, we just love you. And we give you this time and we give you this space. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's a pastor named Chris Hodges, and he kind of rephrases this in a way that I think is really helpful. He says, kind of instead of this statement, there is happiness even in difficult days because we will experience the provision, purpose, and presence of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So today, over the course of this message, I want to tell you three sort of thoughts on our mood in mourning, or our response to pain. Pain, mourning, trial, suffering, all this stuff. How do we respond when it hits us? So I'm going to talk about three things relating to that, and then I'm going to give you three practical ways you can live through a bad day. Does that sound like it might be helpful? Amazing. Number one, our mood in mourning, our response to pain. We think bad things shouldn't happen to good people. Has anyone ever thought this? Oh, like, I'm a good person. That person's a good person. Why is this bad stuff happening? And I want to, with each of these thoughts, I'm just going to give you scripture, and it's going to just kind of get rid of this thought, because it's flawed theology to say bad things happen to good people, because it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is messed up, broken, we fall short. None of us are good, actually. I don't care how good you are, all of us fall short. All of us live in brokenness. And you know, sometimes people would say, oh, this isn't fair. God, I can't believe this is happening. God, you're not fair. And God is not fair. And I'm very grateful he's not fair, because if he was fair, he would give us exactly what we would deserve, and we would have to pay for our own sin. Instead, he gives us the free gift of salvation. Of course he's not fair, and he is the giver of only good things, and he wants the best for us. He's not fair. He's so generous to us. And in Hebrews 11 in the Bible, there's this chapter that goes through all these like heroes of the faith, and it talks about all the amazing things that God did through them. So sometimes we say like, oh, all this bad stuff is happening here on earth. I can't believe this. Good things happen on earth too, and God moves in mighty and powerful ways on this planet. And it's pretty amazing to see. So in Hebrews 11, it talks about all the, you know, the names that you would know, David, Samuel, Samson, all these people and the amazing things that God did. And talks about victories and miracles. But there's a couple verses at the end of this chapter that sometimes we don't read. So I want to read them to us. It says, there were others who don't get named, I guess, who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. Talk about bad things happening to good people. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, or what they expected to happen on planet Earth while they were here. Since God had planned something better. Everybody say that word. God had planned something better. Better. We don't always understand. We don't always know the why. But God has planned something better. I'm going to talk more about that in a second. Number two, our mood in mourning, or our response to pain. We think pain means something is wrong. Something must be terribly wrong. I'm in pain. And there's a verse in the Bible that a lot of people quote. Maybe they even have it on their wall. But very few people actually live it out. Do you want to hear what this verse is? James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Who do you know that is like, yeah, I'm going through a trial. It's so good. Like, who does that? Probably nobody. But this is what the Bible says. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, I was chatting with my housemate, Valeria. Many of you know and love Valeria. And we were, is she in here? She's probably downstairs or outside. But we were just chatting. We're super close, so we chat about a lot of life stuff. And I was like venting to her about some like spiritual growth pains that I was having. I honestly don't remember the specifics, but I know we were talking and I was like, oh, this is so hard. This is so hard. It's painful. And I'm like, I know God's working, but like, this is super, super hard. And then she goes, Karen, do you remember in December, there was a couple of young adults, we were gathered, we were having a prayer meeting, and we went around, we prayed for each other, and everybody said what they wanted prayer for. And Karen, you said, you got really serious, Karen, and you were like, I just want God to do whatever he wants to do in me. And she told me that day, she was like, I was kind of wondering, like, are you sure you want to pray that prayer? But it's hilarious because it's like, that's actually what I prayed for. And I was experiencing God move in my life and it hurt and it's painful. But pain doesn't mean something's wrong. Pain actually means God is moving and doing something powerful in us. Another verse about this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I want to read from the Message paraphrase because it's so good. It says, the day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. I really want genuine faith. I really want genuine faith. Does anyone else want really genuine faith? Careful. Here comes the fire, right? It's so funny. It's like it's black and white. It's right here in scripture. You know, whoever does like physical exercise, I've been training for a marathon for a while. And when you train for a marathon, you have to run. So I've been doing that. But you can't run, you can't expect to run a really long distance before you build up to it. So I've been building up to it and running, but like sometimes my legs hurt. Sometimes I'm super sore, but it doesn't mean anything wrong. It is wrong. It actually means my muscles are being built. I'm getting endurance in my system and I can run farther than I ever thought I was capable of doing. Pain does not mean something is wrong. Number three, our mood in mourning or our response to pain. We think we know what's best. Of course, we know what's best. I'll just give you the scripture. I just feel like this answers this one very easily. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I feel like that just sums it up. I don't need to say anything else. Sometimes we think we know what's best. So I want to move a little bit into from mourning to comfort, talking about suffering and the trials that we face, what we do with them, and also the comfort of God. And there's a story in John 11 that I absolutely love. And it's a story of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, and they're friends with Jesus as he's doing his ministry around the earth. And Lazarus gets super sick. So Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, Jesus, please come heal your friend. He's sick. We're really concerned. Jesus is like, I'll be there soon. But when Jesus shows up on the scene, Lazarus is dead. And he's in the tomb. The funeral has taken place. Everybody is wailing and weeping and grieving, mourning this loss. And so Jesus comes, and we have the whole Bible. We have the whole story in front of us, right? So I know, you know, if you know the story, that Jesus is about to resurrect Lazarus, right? He's about to call his name, pray. Lazarus is going to get resurrected. The funeral is going to turn into a party. Word is going to spread. This miraculous thing has just happened. Oh my goodness. But put yourself in Mary and Martha's shoes for a second, pre-miracle. Their brother has just died. They are grieving this loss, and Jesus comes. And they're like, Jesus, what's the deal? You're late. And how could this be your best plan? We know you're God. You probably have a good plan. But, like, how is this possibly your best plan that our brother was sick and is dead? And so Jesus goes with them to the tomb, and I love this moment in the Bible. In the middle of their grief, their mourning, there's a verse that says, Jesus, who knew what was about to happen, Jesus wept with them. He met them in their moment of grief and mourning and sadness, and they, I don't understand what's going on, Jesus. And he was so moved, and he just cried with them. And to me, it's like, Jesus, you know you're about to turn it all around. But Jesus meets us in the moment of our grief and our pain in a very unique and special way. Even though he might be about to turn it all around, he wants to meet you in whatever moment you're in. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He's close to people who are broken, to people who are mourning and suffering. He's so close. In 2018, I was in Australia studying at college there, and my job while I was there was to be a music teacher, which was super fun. So one day, I'm at work, I'm like in between students, I'm in my little room. They had like a whole bunch of different rooms in this facility, bunch of different teachers, bunch of students, instruments. And I had arranged a FaceTime with my parents, who were across the world, and this was how we stayed in contact and time change and stuff. So we had this FaceTime, and they announced to me that my mom was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a kind of bone cancer. Not news that anybody wants to hear, right? And I'm at work. And there's more to this story that I want to unpack, but in that moment, it was almost weird. It was supernatural. Because I'm away from my family, right? So when you hear news like that, especially being away, you're just like, ah, this is super hard. And it was super hard, but it was like, as they were talking to me, it was like Jesus just wrapped me in a blanket of grace and peace. And it was almost like I actually knew what they were going to tell me. It was really weird. It was like, I know what you're going to say. But Jesus was so close to me in that moment of painful news, struggle, mourning. He's so, so super close. And not long after that call, I was actually able to be home because we had planned like a family reunion, which was awesome because we were going to be together, but it was overshadowed by my mom's not doing well. She's in and out of the hospital. I think we had like 1 hour of family time all together before she had to leave. So it was like, it was kind of rough, super rough. So I'm with my family and we're praying, we're crying. We're in the moment of mourning, all these things going on. And the same, it was like 2 weeks that I was home from Australia. And another major event that was happening was my friend Emma and Josh were getting married. And I had the privilege of being in their wedding, and it was so exciting. And we're like planning the scavenger hunt for the bachelorette party. And we're like, oh my goodness, they're getting married. So like, I'm in the middle of two very extreme emotional things happening. One side is like, I'm so excited, you're about to get married. And then I go home and I hang out with my family and we're like frustrated and don't know what's going on. And like, so I hit a point where I was like, this, I just can't compute anymore. This is really intense. And I remember kneeling at my bed and I just said to God, I was like, if you don't help me, I cannot function any further. Like, this emotional ride is like, woo, too much. I cannot go any further unless you help me. And the Holy Spirit responded and said, Karen, this is exactly where I want you to be. Now, let me just say, God doesn't want us to experience pain and mourning. He's not a God of sickness. Oh my goodness, we know in this house, we trust and believe he paid for our healing. So we believe that. So we're praying and believing and we're declaring healing over my mom in this whole process, of course. But we're also walking the journey. And I felt like in that moment where I'm mourning and I'm just struggling to like continue to move forward. And God's like, I'm going to be your comforter. In the middle of this, I'm with you. And so I got out of that prayer moment, which just lasted a moment, and nothing around me changed. There was still a wedding going on. There was still my mom in the hospital. Nothing changed. But the peace that I had, the grace that I had to just be present with family, present with my friend, God wants to be our comforter in the moment of mourning, in the season of struggle. And he wants to do something so deep in us. And if you'll trust him and you invite him into the process, he will meet you in ways you never thought possible. So from mourning to God, our comforter, we experience both, right? It's not comfortable, but we experience God in such a precious way. Everybody take a deep breath. From mourning to comfort, I want to give you three practical ways to live through a bad day. And my subtitle is Tips from the Apostle Paul, because if you think you've lived through a bad day, just go read his story and you'll feel probably better about your life. He went through so much: stoning, shipwrecked, imprisoned, the list goes on. So we're going to read a passage from 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And we're going to kind of unpack this scripture, but this is Paul speaking to people. It says, "Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Little thought I want to throw in. Pastor Roy talked about growing roots of character so we grow fruit and seeds so that we share with the people around us the things that God is doing in us. So this isn't just comfort for me, me, me. It's comfort for everybody. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, we don't like that verse as much. So also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Talk about a bad day. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Three practical ways you can live through a bad day. Number one, refocus on what is happening in me, not to me. Refocus on what is happening in me, not to me. Verse 9 of this passage, it says, "This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. If something is happening to me, God wants to do something in me. You know, in the journey with my mom's diagnosis and health and all of that, I do want to also mention she is in partial remission. So there's a lot of things we are super grateful for, so happy for. Good news. But it's not been easy. It's been really hard at times. It's been a struggle, and I'm sure many, if not everyone in this room, is like, yeah, I get it, I know. But the thing that has blown my mind, and my mom is one of my heroes, is in chatting with her, she would say, you know, this journey hasn't been easy, hasn't been good. But I have learned so much with Jesus that if I could go back and rewrite it, I actually wouldn't change anything. When she says that, I'm like mind-blowing. And to me, that is an example of the blessed life that you can go through. All kinds of, yeah, clap if you're going to clap. Come on, to say you're in a trial, you're mourning, but you wouldn't go back and change it because the work that God has done in you is worth far more. This is the blessed life, and it's not easy, but it is so worth it, oh my word. It's so good. I love this quote from Chris Hodges. He says, "My pain is either a jail that imprisons me or a school that shapes me." So often when we experience or feel pain, we're just like, ah, take it away. Get rid of it. I don't want that. No, no, no. But when we pray, take it away, maybe we're delaying what God actually wants to do. And again, in the space of health and healing, we declare healing every time because we know Jesus has paid for it. My pain is either a jail that imprisons me or a school that shapes me. Okay, number two, practical ways on how you could live through a day. Remember, number one is refocus on what's happening in me, not to me. Number two, remember God always delivers. He always delivers. Again, this note from the Apostle Paul, verse 10, he says, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." He has delivered us, he will deliver us, and he will continue to deliver us. God is so faithful. And the best predictor of God's present help is his past faithfulness. So if you're in the middle of a struggle, talk to somebody with like white or gray in their hair. Be like, tell me the stories. Tell me how God's provided for you. Just read the scriptures. Oh my goodness, there's so many examples in there of God's faithfulness. And I mean, if we skip to the end of the story, the end of the Bible, talks about how he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He's going to make everything new. Remember, he always delivers, and he always has our best in mind. Number three, this one's super practical. Rely on solid relationships. This note from Paul again, verse 11, he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul didn't do it alone. We're not supposed to do this journey alone. You know, when I was in Australia and just thinking about my mom and navigating it and praying it through. I lived in an awesome house. There was 8 of us girls, but it was fantastic. It was so great. So I had an amazing and wonderful like support system, but there was one girl in particular. Her name's McKenna. And every once in a while, she'd just come like eyeballs on eyeballs, like You know when people really look you in the eye? You know when they're not like, how you doing, Kay? When she stopped and looked and she said, how's your mom? And how are you? And she really created space. There was multiple others, but something about McKenna, she created a space for me to burst into tears if I needed to, process whatever I needed to, because I couldn't do it alone. And you know what? She was a great help to me, I think, because she had actually experienced something very similar. So when we are comforted, it's not just for us, then we can bring it to others, right? We got to rely on solid relationships. Who do you have? Who do you have that's in your corner, that's praying for you, that's got you covered? And I don't know if this is like a fair generalization, but sometimes I feel like we feel like we don't have anybody, and really we actually do. But I also just felt to say, this is my one piece of advice. If you feel genuinely like you have nobody, my best piece of advice for building friendships, and I feel super, super blessed, but I can count, there's more than my fingers, solid, good people in my life that I could reach out to at any point. So, and I feel like a lot of those are gifts from God, but also I'm super blessed to have a lot of great friends. So my one piece of advice, be a good friend. Start it out. You want someone to pray for you? Go pray for someone else. And you know what? Sometimes when you hear that, you're like, oh. But you know what? The amount of times I've gone out of my way to pray for somebody, to engage with somebody, I walk away blessed. We have to be able to rely on solid relationships. Who do you have? It's a super practical tip. So we're going to, number one, refocus on what's happening in me, not to me. Remember, God always delivers. And we're going to rely on solid relationships. Would you just stand, and we're just going to pray. The band's going to sing. Pastor Roy's going to come. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever, not if, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Be aware of the mood in mourning and your response to pain. Bring in truth. Know that God has your best in mind, that he's not fair. He's overly generous and kind. You know, again, we're talking about roots of character and the fruit that comes out of our life. And the roots, by the way, are unseen. And God does a lot with us when people don't see it. But the fruit comes out of our life. And I've had a number of people say to me, and I'm not saying this to brag, but just to talk about the fruit that comes out of your life. I've had a lot of people say, especially people that I live with, they're like, Karen, you're really peaceful. It's just peaceful. And I'm like, the inside of me is not always peaceful. But I have, in areas, dug down roots, and I go, I trust you, God. So the fruit that comes out of my life, and I don't even know it's the fruit. I'm like, okay, awesome. I'm a peaceful presence. Cool. What is the fruit that will come out of your life as we grow roots of character? I'd love to just pray for you right now. Jesus, thank you for this amazing group of people. Thank you for this house and this family. Thank you for this series, God. We want to be the people you've called us to be. We want to be mature children of God that have genuine faith, that we've been through the fire, we've been through the mourning, we've been through the trial, but we know you as our comforter. You know, Mary and Martha knew God as the miracle worker, but they also knew him as the comforter. And God, I just pray for anyone today that is in a mourning season. It is just tough, and probably they're not letting on how difficult it is. God, would you meet them right now in this time and space? It could just be a moment of you saying, I'm here. I see it all. God, be their comforter today. Have your way in all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Still talking. I sense in this room a spirit of comfort that Karen was releasing even as she was speaking on these things. This wasn't theory. She's lived this. Just that as she just took that personal story. Thank you, Karen and Mary, for just letting us in on that story, that piece, a very vulnerable part of your journey. But I could sense comfort being just projected through this room by the Holy Spirit. And if you're in either physical pain, emotional pain, relational pain, situational pain right now, just receive right now where you're standing the comfort of the Lord in the situation. It's not happening to you. Something's happening in you right now. And Jesus is meeting with you right now where you are. Holy Spirit, I just pray for that tangible sense of your presence. Those who are mourning this morning, they're blessed. There's a blessing in it. There's a presence in it. There's a power associated with it. There's a comfort for it and for those around us. And we sense that right now. And I thank you for that. I'm going to ask the ministry team to come, and if you just like someone to join with you specifically in this area of just receiving comfort in your time of pain, we want to agree with you and pray with you. Just before we do that, I want to ask this question today with every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment of reflection. We close our services in prayer and thinking about what we've heard. But if you're here today and you would say, I'm journeying alone, I don't know Jesus the way Karen just talked about him. I understand there's a God in heaven and I, you know, Christmas and Easter, but the reality of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus in my life, the way she's talking about, I've never experienced that. And today I want to offer you an opportunity to respond in this service, to invite Jesus into your life. He comes to us in those moments because we've invited him to live in our life. The Bible says he knocks on the heart of every human being and asks to come in. We have to invite him in. We have to open the door of our life to him. The reality is our house, our life, our heart is a mess. And many are trying to clean up their lives and clean up their hearts before they would get, quote, religious or be a churchgoer. But the good news of the gospel today is that Jesus wants to come in and clean your heart. Our hearts, our lives are messy because of sin. The Bible says we've all sinned. We all need a Savior. If you're here today and you're ready to receive your Savior, Jesus, your eternal life into your life, I'm just simply going to count down from three. I'll count three, two, and one. When I reach one, if that's you and you want to be included in a prayer today to invite Jesus into your life, just raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it. And then we're going to pray together one of the most powerful prayers of asking Jesus to come into your life. In three, two, this is for you today. And one, just simply raise your hand so I can see it. Is there anyone in the room today? Just scanning, I want to see. Is there anyone today saying, I want Jesus? I don't see any hands, but for those that are logged in online today and our online church, Harvest, would you pray this prayer with me? Just this prayer of receiving Jesus.
Dear Jesus,
thank you that you love me
the way I
am. And today, I hear you knocking on my life. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. I receive eternal life. Thank you. I am born again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one more prayer. You go ahead and thank the Lord for salvation. If you prayed that prayer today, maybe you didn't raise your hand. We believe you're born again. Would you just stretch your hand up? Mary's over here. We just heard about Karen's mother, Mother Mary. I want to just break something over her life today. Specifically, one of the side effects of medications and this journey is she feels like she's going to fall. There's an instability just in her as she walks, and it's not really vertigo, but something like that. I don't understand. We don't understand what it is. We just know it affects, and it affects her quality of life. And so right now, Jesus says, we agree. You said, Lord, where two shall agree is touching. It's done in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the blessed life that she has lived and the blessed life of the family and the blessed life of those that have been comforted by this story and this journey. But today, in Jesus' name, we cancel the effects of what the enemy assignment has been. We cancel what sin, Father, not personal sin, but the sin of this world. We live in a world that doesn't work the way it should. But I'm thankful today that in the midst of a world that doesn't work the way it should, heaven comes to earth. You said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. On the earth where it doesn't work the way it should, but from heaven's power, we release that right now. Because you told us we could, and you told us we should, and we receive now that healing in Jesus' name. And anyone else in this room that needs healing right now, just take it. It's yours as we pray that prayer. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week and a great long weekend. We love you so much. Don't forget our ministry team is ready to pray with you.